Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 272. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me in New York City all this summer. Follow me on Instagram, people, because my comedy special is going to be coming out very soon. And I will be releasing clips, clip by clip, minute by minute on Instagram. Go to Turner at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can follow Kaplan at Cap in America on all social media platforms. That's Instagram. That's Facebook.
That's TikTok. Twitter.
That's Friendster.
MySpace.
I'm with MySpace. Yeah. That would be, we should take back over MySpace.
You think Tom will sell it to us?
No. I mean, like, no one's there anymore.
We just start.
No one's posting on MySpace. If we're the only ones, even if there's only a million people still on MySpace, we could be the most popular people on MySpace.
We could. That's the thing. You want to be the king somewhere.
It's like the guy in Oregon who's trying to bring back Blockbuster Video.
We can be that
for MySpace. Kaplan, on the podcast today, we have Chino Liao, our great friend Chino Liao from the Philippines, is back with us. He was just in New York City visiting, so we're going to get some of those. What are his thoughts of life in New York? He was doing comedy out here.
We tried to do this in person, and we epically failed, so we'll get to that.
Yeah. Chino got the bug, and so we couldn't see him when he was here. He was trapped in a hotel room for about a week trying to recover. But what we're talking about today is the president. There's a new president in the Philippines. It's an old name.
Familiar name.
It's like Dusty Rhodes, if you're a wrestling fan. You know, everyone remembered his dad was Dustin Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. There's a link to the past.
Right.
But it's new. Everything that's old is new. And now an old dictator's son has now become president. We're going to get to that in just a minute. How it happened, why it happened, what that means for the world. Is that a trend for the world? Will we now be seeing future dictators? Is there a Hitler kid out there somewhere?
Henry Hitler. Start your campaign up.
Is Henry Hitler going to be the next president of the United States?
Bobby Stalin. It's time. The people are calling.
We will find out soon. Is Kevin Pol Pot out there somewhere?
We keep going.
Kevin Pol Pot. What happens with him getting into Cambodian politics sometimes.
P.D. Pinochet. Let's go.
Before that, there we go. That's one more. That was the one we needed. Now, who's the lady in Argentina? Evita Perón.
She wasn't a dictator, was she?
I don't know. Madonna played her. The play.
Anyway, we'll learn that when we do Argentina.
Did she was the one who let them eat cake, or was that someone else?
She sang to them from the balcony. No, that's Marie Antoinette.
That's who I'm thinking.
But if
of.
Marie Antoinette's like great 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 grandkid runs in France, you know,
where's Billy Bob Antoinette? Billy Bob Antoinette. What's he doing? Cap. Before that,
yeah.
Patreon.com is how you support this show. We desperately need your support. Should we threaten to just cancel the show outright if we don't get a new Patreon subscriber this week?
We have to start making some threats. We have to say no more. Like, we went a few weeks without this show because I had some health issues. That was the official reason. But it's really just because I'm depressed because we can't get more patrons. You can't get me to do this pod anymore. I'm so depressed about it.
We played nice for too long.
Yeah.
We've been doing this show for 5 years.
Yeah.
We've had our Patreon channel, I don't know, two years or so.
We've had it longer than COVID.
Hey, everybody, be cool. Support us. That doesn't work.
No,
there's
more Mr. Nice Guys.
Thousands of people who listen to this show, Lost in America.
Yeah.
We have proof of that. Almost none of them subscribe to our Patreon channel.
Yeah. And if you haven't subscribed at any point during the past few years, now is the time. It's the best bargain. You would get all, like, you would have screwed us over. You could get all the episodes we did and we were charging other people for. You could get them for $5 right now. You could have them in on your computer screen. On
yes.
your phone. So
you get all the
now's
back
the time
episodes
to make amends. Yeah, all the back episodes. Make amends. Subscribe, please.
Be like Tug.
Tug.
Be like Drew Fralick. Be like Dennis Owens. Be like Sugar Brady. Be like Linda Van Dam.
I mean, these people have such power that on our show last week, Drew Fralick, he made a threat. He basically said he would stop subscribing if I talked about a certain topic, and I have to listen to him because of how few subscribers we have at the moment. So,
he said Kaplan is no longer allowed to promote his daughter's Girl Scout cookies on our show.
You're allowed to say it? Okay.
Well, we can say you're not allowed. So that's it. So Kaplan won't do that anymore. His daughter's going to fail out of Girl Scouts.
Because he's paying us $26 a month.
Because we need this extra Patreon money.
Exactly.
But we're willing to do that. We'll do whatever you need us to do.
We'll sell our kids' dreams
away. We will be co-opted. If you have a political campaign, we'll pretend like we support it, even if we know nothing about it.
If you're a dictator's grandkid and you want to run for office.
The way you do that, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. $5 a month is all we're asking for. But you know what? 10 will get you this mug when we went to number one in Armenia, or a T-shirt. Lost in America t-shirt, number one in Armenia. $20 will get you an advertisement on this show. We did one for the great Dennis Owens last week. We will do yours. Whenever you throw us $20 a month, that's it. Gab, all right, now let's get to the show. What do you know about what's going on in Philly? So they've elected the son of a former dictator as president. It's very, I don't know. I think it's unprecedented. I don't know if, because this guy, the dictator was
Marcos. We should
Marcos.
Say who's the most. Marcos is the most famous. One of the more I don't know if he knew any. I don't know whether there are other dictators in the Philippines. I don't know, but
he was a dictator in the 80s.
Yeah,
he stole $10 billion U.S. dollars worth of money from the country, and then when they tried to arrest him, he fled to Hawaii. Now I don't know why we took him.
Well, his wife came to New York. I know she was like a big socialite here, I believe, for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because they had ten bill.
Because we had the best shoes. I know that's all I remember from the 80s. She had a lot of shoes.
Yeah. And she was famous. She was on like Oprah, I think. And Oprah loved her, just talking about how great her shoes were.
And anytime you have a woman who's just spends all of her people's money on her shoes, you know, she's a good mom. You know, she's willing to spend a lot of money on her kids. So she know your kids got good education. So, of course, you would elect this kid to be the president one day.
So then the kid now has grown up.
Yeah.
And become the president. Now he just got elected president.
Yeah, it's a real election.
This wasn't a takeover. This wasn't a hostile takeover. And his vice president, Duterte, the guy who was just the president.
Who
you remember the guy
about.
Who just went out? He said he rode up and down the streets of Manila on his motorcycle,
killing drug dealers with his hands.
Shooting drug dealers.
Strange. Yeah,
he was the president, and his daughter is now vice president. So the country said, you know what? That whole killing, shooting drug dealers with your pistol. We want more of that.
That's what's great. It's not just bringing back an old dictator. It's bringing back like two potentially evil empires and merging them.
Like Andre the Giant and Mr. Perfect became a tag team. It's like the two evils
I love the wrestling
put together.
Yeah.
And then they won the championship. So I want to know, how did this possibly happen? Who are the people who voted for, you know, what type of person voted here? What does this mean for the world? But first, I want to welcome Chino Liao back to the show. Chino's our great friend. And we'll get into your New York stuff a little later. But
yeah,
let's start
sure.
with this topic. And what? How correct are we in our assessment here?
No, you're very on point, Hugh. You ask about how they both won. I'm going to boil it down in the simplest terms. There's a large divide between the haves and have-nots here in the Philippines. The way the poverty line is more of like a poverty square at this point. You know, it's It is massive. And unfortunately, that camp did something correct in targeting a lot of the masses, a lot of the lower pay grade people of the Philippines, which is how they got a lot of the votes. You know,
did you just call them B grade people?
Low grade, low pay grade people.
Oh, low pay grade. They're not low grade people.
I thought you were saying like A grade, B grade, C grade people.
No, I mean people who don't pay as much. You know, people who are below the poverty line,
blue collar working class.
People who have a Patreon page that only gets $300 a month.
Yes, exactly. All correct. And these people were easily targeted because of how every evil empire succeeds. They were targeted by Facebook ads and TikTok videos and trolls online and massive social media campaigns. And it's just, that's what we boil it down to. A lot of people are on the side of Vice President Robredo, who was President-elect Marcos's number one rival, are going to say that she was cheated out of the presidency. But I really don't see it that way. I see it as a country, the country of the Philippines, deciding that they want more of what's been going on for the past 6 years. That's basically how it is.
We should say that this victory by Marcos, by Fernando Jr.,
Ferdinand
Marcos Jr., who goes by Bong Bong Marcos, right?
Yes.
That's his nickname. So we'll call him Bong Bong, I think, for the purpose of just comedy.
It's more fun.
Yeah.
President Bong Bong.
President Bong Bong won
by a
gigantic margin.
And a huge margin.
He also was the first one to get a majority in three decades, first president. So a lot of, because multiple people will run, so you could win with like 40% of the vote. He actually got over 50%. So if you claim that this was a stolen, it's a difficult claim to claim it was stolen. You could say there was irregularities in the voting, but maybe not that wide of a margin.
Yeah, because he got Vice President Robredo, who was, again, his number one rival, only got 15 million votes. He got over 30 million.
Wow.
So that he just blew her out of the water.
That's a lot of dead people voting.
I know, right? There are a lot of vote buying, a lot of bribes, a lot of shady business going on. Just so, because the gap was so unexpected. Like, people on the side of President or VP Robredo really campaigned hard for her. Like, I remember going to rallies, going to parties dedicated to her just to try and get the hype up. But it really wasn't a match for how well the other camp run its campaign. Because, man, even Bong Bong Marcos won without doing a single debate, without conducting a single interview about his campaign. Whenever he would appear in a campaign rally, he would only say one word and people would lose their shit. Say unity. Unity. He'd just say, what if people ask him about his plans for the government, all he'd say is, we need to be unified. We need unity. And that's all he'd say. He'd never give specifics. He doesn't break down his plan for the country. And yet he still won by so much, which is really disheartening at this point, you know,
because economy of words, though. It's a good win for the economy of words.
Well, it's also like, it's good strategy. I mean, frankly, did Biden come out of his basement when he ran?
Yeah, Biden. That was Biden's strategy. Don't say a lot.
Biden was like, don't say anything. Don't leave the house. You're in the lead. All you can do is screw this up. And so he blamed it on COVID, I think. Well, he's also like 100 years old.
He is actually high risk, yes.
Yeah, he's very high risk. But it's a good, and like NBA players, you know, like college athletes, when they know they're going to go number one, they don't show up to any of the workouts or the combines or anything. Right. They just
Bong Bong, how was his 40 time? Bong Bong decided, he didn't run.
I'm ahead anyway, right? I guess he's ahead. So I was going to ask you, what was his strategy? I mean, what was his platform? But it really, there was no platform.
He never really gave anything, no specifics. There's this video going around of how they're asking him who his comptroller is going to be. or the equivalent of a comptroller in the Philippines. And he couldn't even define what a comptroller did.
Well, he's on my team then, because I didn't know. I don't think
it's a real job, to be honest.
Yeah, comptroller. Yeah. I always think they're spelling
controller. But to be fair, you guys aren't running a company.
Not yet.
I mean, you'd think it's basic requirements for somebody in his position, but he couldn't even answer it. He didn't have somebody in mind for the Commission of Audit, which is what they were asking about. He couldn't even define what the Commission of Audit actually did. So it's just going around in the liberal circles now. People are making fun of him before he even gets into power.
And what was
they say? So, who's the comptroller? He just says unity. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, he just acts and tries to play it off like he's deaf in one ear or a little hard. Of
feel
hearing,
like, oh,
you know?
I didn't get
it. What did you say? Controller? Yeah. No, you know, controller? What? No.
Remember when they asked Trump what was his favorite part of the Bible?
Oh, he goes,
there's a lot of good parts. I mean, it's hard to pick just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would have said with the comptroller. You go, well, there's a lot of great candidates out there. We're still
deciding.
What
magazine she liked. Remember that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what if we don't know what his platform was, what was his competitor's platform?
So his closest competition, which is the former vice president.
Now, she was the vice president. Randall. She was Duterte's VP?
Yes.
And
They're elected separately, I believe.
Are they elected separately?
Yeah, it's not a party system like you guys.
Okay,
have.
Okay.
So they can do different parties. She was a liberal candidate, and President Duterte was with the administration. I forget what party he's a part of. PDP Laban, I think his party was. So anyway, VP Robredo's platform was that she wanted good governance. She was also after COVID relief because we were coming off the pandemic. She was also promising people jobs, you know, basic run-of-the-mill liberal campaign platforms. However, other people in the presidential elections also had different platforms as well. Like there was a former police chief who ran and who promised to, you know, perform administrative policies to, you know, stop crime, prevent crime, you know, just very basic police things. And then another one who used to be the mayor of Manila also promised things like better education. His platform really just hinged upon education a lot. So a lot of people really had well-defined campaigns, but Bongo Marcos, man, his platform is just non-existent.
Here's a question. It sounds fake, but it's real. If any one of those other people just would have gone on stage and said the word unity, would they have won? Or was there, basically was the point that he didn't need to say anything? He somehow already won.
I think you are correct. I think by not saying anything, he already had the hearts and minds of the masses here, because the big issue with him winning was historical revisionism. A lot of people are saying that by him winning, he is going to change our history books and sort of eradicate the 20-year span that his father was in power, including the time martial law was implemented and a lot of people were kidnapped, tortured, killed, etc.
So just get that out of the history books, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's what people
are. So it's an education platform then. Sort of.
Pretty much, you know. They're going to try to unify all the fake media in the country to, you know, try and revise how history is being perceived here. But a lot of people are afraid that that's going to happen. But then they say that because a lot of the times when all these trolls on Facebook and all the fake TikTok videos started getting engagement, it was because they were trying to redefine what happened during martial law. So it really also had a lot to do with living off his father's name and a lot of people saying, well, martial law was bad, but his dad also did a lot of good.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. The trains ran on time. He did a lot of good. The economy was, I read they said that we had less debt then. People were saying supporters, stuff like
they
that.
They said, he stole $10 billion.
But things were cheaper.
Most people got killed. But there was a good economy. People had jobs. People were making
gas
money.
Gas was cheaper. Yeah.
And that somehow, I mean, this happened in China as well. There's a term that everyone uses, which is two thirds, one third, which is that in the 1970s, the person who was in power then, who I shouldn't even mention, was two thirds good and one third bad. That's the way the history books are written now. He was trying to do good the whole time. It's just, you know, a third of the time he hit a
stick. Better than being 50-50. So
what I'm saying is that's the way they're rewriting the books.
What about Manny Pacquiao? What happened to his case?
Oh, he got blown. He got blown out. He didn't even stand a chance.
It was like,
remember how we were talking about how he was part of President Duterte's party, but then he and him had a falling out. Yeah, so now Manny decided to start his own party, and we literally just spelled the end for him, because by starting his own party, he already lost the backing of the original party he was a part of, which was a lot more established, you know. So by separating from them, he already lost all the backing. He lost all the sponsorships. He had to, I mean, because he was Manny Pacquiao, he had that merit going for him, but it really wasn't enough to convince people that he was a possible presidential candidate. You know, by then people had already dismissed him for even. The mayor of Manila, Isko Moreno, who also ran, was third place in this presidential election. So he was way ahead of Pacquiao, who was like seventh, I think.
Wow, man's got to go back to boxing.
Yeah, I mean, that's
12th time.
That's what people are saying. People are saying he's going to look for the easiest fight he can take, just so he can cleanse his name, you know, because he can still go.
Is he still a senator or not?
No, because he ran for the presidency, he lost his Senate seat.
Oh, wow. No.
Big mistake, Manny.
So basically what happened was, at the end of his senatorial term, he had a choice on whether to rerun as a senator or run for the presidency. Of course, history will show that he ran for the presidency and lost. So now he has nothing.
So not only does Marcos win, but his vice president is Sara Duterte, who's Duterte's daughter, right?
Yes.
Previous president. Is this, you said this is a signal, like he basically ran off his dad's name. Did she also run off her dad's name? Is this just two spoiled children of former presidents becoming like teaming up?
Okay. So the thing with Sara Duterte is that she was supposedly groomed to replace President Duterte. President Duterte did not want her running as a VP. He wanted her running as a vice president, which is why a little bit of a fight erupted between the both of them, a little bit of a misunderstanding, because President Duterte has been on record saying that he didn't really believe in Bongbong Marcos can be a president. He finds him to be a weak leader. He said that on tape. So it's very
So he wanted her to be president.
Yeah, he wanted Sara Duterte to be his daughter, because it's his child, right, to be president. I mean, Sara Duterte is currently the mayor of Davao City right now, which is where President Duterte reigned for a few good decades. So by being a vice president, President Duterte sees this as a demotion. But because
disappointing
this
child.
Whole thing, yeah, because this whole thing is sort of like a power grab for that entire side, which goes all the way back to former President Gloria Arroyo, right? It's a play that President Duterte is willing to swallow, because he still wants to be part of that team. He's going to be okay with her being a vice president, especially if it means that after 6 years or so, she can run to be a president. Right?
Yes.
So they just have to wait a little bit longer and things will still work out.
Now, what does this say about the people? Well, let's get into. So now we know what the platforms were. How did your friends and family Did this, like, how did they vote? Did this, you said it broke down basically like the lower middle class to lower class voted. They bong voted bong. For Bong Bong. They're right. All in for this, like, blow it up or keep blowing it up, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's the continuation.
A continuation of the Tuerte.
Yeah. Okay. So it's, I don't know how to get into this without sounding elitist. So I'll just say it.
We're elitist here.
A lot of people are saying that the reason the Ferdinand Marcos Jr. won was because poor people wanted to stay poor. It's such a douchey thing to say, because Lenny Robredo, Vice President Robredo, really campaigned hard on the platform of improving people's lives. And unfortunately, the only people who agreed with her, or a majority of her supporters, were people who already had improved lives. You know, people who were in the middle class, upper middle class, you know, part of society here. So it was a hard sell to the lesser people in the Philippines here to vote for somebody who they couldn't really relate to. You know what I mean? Because her campaign's weakness is that they didn't really cater to the masses as much. It really only related to a lot of the upper middle class people in society. So a lot of celebrities who tried to back her or really only related to the people who were well off, and not so much to the people who really ended up voting for Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
I mean, it's amazing how people don't learn the lesson. Like, right. What you're describing exactly happened in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. She was like, I can't believe I lost because J-Lo liked me. Beyonce liked me. Like, she just started, like, celebrities all voted for me. So how could people not vote for how celebrities vote? And it turns out when people are really poor and, like, in distressed situations, they don't give a shit about celebrities. They hate celebrities.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So no, I remember, like, you mentioned that. I remember something from the Daily Show talking about this exact same thing. How, like, it doesn't matter to people how many celebrities back you if they don't actually feel the change that's happening, like what they felt during the Duterte administration's reign, then they're not really going to vote for somebody who claims to be able to help them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if anything, it's helping the other side, because the other side is saying, I care about you. And like the Duterte's and the Marcos, they're saying, I care about you, and my opponent only cares about the rich. And then the opponent goes, yeah, but look at me. Rich people like me. I mean, it's like,
exactly. It's self-fulfilling.
You're playing right into their hands. It's the dumbest strategy.
And it's also like making fun of people who don't, like, we make a lot of joke about Duterte killing drug dealers, right?
Yeah.
But if you make light of it too much, it's like, well, if you live in that neighborhood where there's a drug dealer, you actually appreciate it. Even if you don't care about due process the way we might in our sitting here in my penthouse apartment.
Right. Exactly. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I know people, friends who voted for President Duterte because they grew up or still live in bad parts of town, like drug deals going on left and right. And so they felt like he was the answer to their problems. And really, it just boils down to a systemic problem at the end of the day. You know, people feel like because they're voting for Lenny Robredo, it's an instant solution to everything. But you gotta understand, man, this is like a decades-long power struggle. You know, and it's not going to be fixed overnight. So by voting for one person, it's not going to happen right away. You know what I mean? So it's not like instantaneous solution.
Sure. How does this work its way into comedy, or does it at all? Like at comedy clubs and when you're out doing spots, are people talking about this? And are comedy audiences?
It's funny because during martial law, he actually had a few comedians arrested and detained.
But Duterte did?
No, sorry. Marcos. Martial law during Marcos.
In the 80s. In the 1980s. Marcos.
In the 1980s. You know, a lot of comedians were detained. TV stations were shut down. In fact, one station that was shut down in the 80s is shut down today. So it's a lot of people want to tread lightly. Like in my local comedy community and podcasting community, a lot of people are afraid that their freedom of speech is going to get infringed upon. But lawyers are saying that it might still be too early to tell. So if that's the case, a lot of us still do jokes, you know. We still right. continue living unless something drastic happens, which we're not really afraid of. But unless something drastic happens, then maybe we can talk about it again. You know, maybe I'll call you from a bunker somewhere.
Yeah.
And are your audiences, what side do they fall on? Like, are they supportive of Marcos, the new president Marcos, or are they? How do they break down?
It's very divided. A lot of them support the other candidates. A lot of them support Ferdinand Marcos. And even some comedians here in the Philippines also support Ferdinand Marcos, which is very surprising, to be sure. But a lot of them just believe in the status quo, keeping the status quo the status quo. You know, so that's probably why they supported Ferdinand Marcos. While still a lot of us, you know, ended up voting for President Robredo or Vice President Robredo, hoping that, you know, things change.
It's so funny to me because you talk about the status quo, whereas in America, when we talk about status quo, we're kind of talking about like stability. It's right, like voting right. for the status quo would be voting for a Bush family member or a Biden or something right. like that. And voting in Philippines for the status quo is like more chaos.
More chaos, more crackdowns.
I feel like people don't really see it that way, though. That's the thing.
Okay.
That's like the people who voted for Ferdinand Marcos don't really see him as an agent of chaos and destruction, because they really believe that by voting for him, they're voting for somebody who is not only the lesser evil, but also somebody who promised unity at the end of the day, and they just want more of that.
Is it a lot of young people? I was reading that a lot of young people actually voted for Marcos. Is it a kind of an idea where they don't even remember the 80s
and they weren't even alive
in the history books? There's some people disputing, like, did that really happen that way? That was his rivals wrote it up that way after the fact.
So yeah, that was a big issue. Like I said, it goes back to historical revisionism out here, because a lot of Gen Zers and younger millennials started campaigns on trying to revise what happened during the 1980s and during martial law specifically. You know, a lot of them, and they used social media to their advantage very well. So well, in fact, that it convinced a lot of folks, even folks who were alive during the 80s, to say, hey, wait a minute.
Maybe I remember.
You know? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I remember.
It's like they yelled fake news, but not at something that just happened, but at something that's been established in your brain for 4 years, and yet you still were like, oh, wait.
Exactly.
That's crazy. We're going to take a break, but when we get back, I want to get into what this means for the world. And we're almost there. We're getting very close to that. So, Kaplan, but let's take a break. We are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us, Lost in America. That is Professor Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage Podcast. Speaking of that, Heaton and I will be in Texas this week in the Dallas area doing stand-up together.
Look at that. That's exciting.
Thursday night. It's at a country club, though, so it's a private show, and I believe it's sold out.
But. So that's a great advertisement. Like, you guys can't come, but just so you know, we'll be in the area.
Well,
buy us a drink if you see us at a bar.
Yeah, we'll hang out with us at a bar after. That's a good idea. We will be back, though. I'm going to be back in Fort Worth, actually, in the fall, so all updates for that soon. And I'm sure Heaton will be with me if he's around. So he's the Political Orphanage Podcast, great podcast. And, of course, Dr. Andrea Jones Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast. She is not only a comedian, she's a circus performer and a professor at New York University. Who's our latest doctor from NYU, Cap? What's her name?
Oh, Dr. Swift? Dr. Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Yes. She's not a circus performer, though, so she's not as talented as Dr. Andrea.
Not even close. But she just became, she's now equally as learned.
But she has a great paper on data science that I'm dying to read.
I'm sure she does. Now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you so much. All right. So I want to run something by you here, Chino, and see if this resonates with you. Kaplan and I just read this, and it's something we've been circling around for years, and I think this nails it. It's this idea that people in a lot of countries, I would include America in this, and the Philippines for sure, and maybe UK, Ed, that when liberalism is this idea of like, we're all going to work it out, right? It's going to be, we all need to work together to solve the problems.
Freedom.
When that fails or appears to fail, then what people want next is they want a tough leader who's kind of going to be a disciplinarian, tough on crime. And they don't necessarily care how it gets there. That's just, they're like, this idea of we all work together to solve problems doesn't work, because it's almost like you've decided not to trust the other people in your own country. So we need a leader who will just be like a mean dad who will come down and
it's like every TV show. There's always like every cop show. There's always a guy who breaks the rules, but then he gets results. Like he breaks a few skulls and gets guys to confess or something.
He gets results.
I'm like, for that guy
from a family with a bunch of kids. If you're the one good kid, but the bad kids in your family are always getting away from everything, you're like, all I want is dad to enforce the rules because I'm obeying them and nobody else is, and they get away with it. Does that resonate with you with what's going on in the Philippines?
No, yeah, it makes sense because, okay, so for me to answer this, I'll give you a quick rundown on who was president the last, I'm going to say 20 years. So it was Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, who is now a congresswoman. And then she had two terms. And then after her, it was the son of somebody who was a rival to the original Marcos, Benigno Aquino Jr. He was a pure liberal. So Benigno Aquino Jr. is the son of Benigno Aquino, who was a senator in the 80s who staunchly defied Ferdinand Marcos Sr. So this was a big thing, and this is how the revolution started in the Philippines after Benigno Aquino Sr. was assassinated. So many, many years later, his son runs for office, pure liberal, right? And then after that, it was President Duterte. So the break from the liberal side of things is proof that what you're saying is kind of correct, you know, that the people of the Philippines really didn't see an improvement during the liberal period.
That's the crux of it right there. Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
They didn't really feel that their lives improved when somebody who was liberal was seated. Therefore, they don't really feel the need to support somebody who only a select few percentage of the public can relate to. You know what I mean? It's not in their best interest to vote for a liberal right now, which is unfortunately sad, because a lot of us feel in that part of the group, a lot of us feel that that's the only way the Philippines improves. You know, that's the only way the Philippines gets back to where it used to be before Ferdinand Marcos Sr.
Now, if that last minute of Chino speaking does not ring any bells for you in the United States of America, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and it's also around the world.
It's what we're doing right now. It's like, hey, we're now trying to go back to stability and liberalism and Biden. And I mean, whether it's his fault or not, it's just reality that a lot of people's lives are not really improving.
Yeah.
So what's coming next, I think, is kind of obvious.
Yeah, and it's also around the world. We've talked about in El Salvador recently. We talked about Hungary recently. This idea of like strong leaders.
Well, Brexit.
Yeah, that's like, right. Yeah, there's a couple different issues, but like not due process is not like something that someone cares about as much as just like, I want safety. I want my family to be safe. You know, want to have a job. So yeah, it could be, we could be talking about our country soon one day.
I mean, so here's the thing. Duterte got elected I think the Philippines recent history has been a canary in the coal mine telling us what's going to happen everywhere else around the world at some point soon. The Duterte got elected in June 2016. I looked it up. And I remember hearing that and being like, whoa, they're crazy. What are they doing there? And then Brexit was either the exact same time or a month before or a month after. It was right around the same time. 6 months later, we got Trump. And then now the world tried pulling back from that a little bit. And I don't know. I think it's kind of obvious to where everything's going.
Trump's, is it going to be Ivanka then this time as vice president? If we copy their model completely.
I think it'll depend on who's still alive. If Trump's still alive, it'll just be him.
Yeah, but his daughter, he's got a daughter who could run.
It's true. It's about time we had a woman president. So
glass ceiling, baby.
Yes. So how was your trip to New York? I want to get into that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? Until I got COVID and broke my phone and broke my ankle, it was great, man. For the first week that I was there was beautiful.
Wait, you got COVID, and broke your phone, broke your ankle.
The ankle was first, okay, right?
Yeah. So the ankle was first. And then a day after, my phone died and couldn't be repaired. So it hasn't been repaired. And then a few days after that, I got COVID. So anything before that was still beautiful to me, you know, because I got to do so much stand up there that I didn't expect to do as many shows as I got to do. So it was still a good trip for me, you know. It made me even start considering figuring out how to move out to New York.
Hey, so that's like there you go.
It didn't deter me from wanting to go back.
I want to ask you about something specific. Because you said that when you were out there, when you're out in New York, when you're out here, you thought you saw Artie Lang, the comedian Artie Lang.
I saw it on Twitter.
In a McDonald's.
Right. Yeah.
And then you realized it was not Artie Lang.
Yeah.
And you realized that everyone looks like Artie Lang here. What's that?
So here's my question. Because when I moved back, I was in China for 12 years. When I moved back to America, I also, for the first like 3 months, I thought I would see celebrities like three times a day. I'd be like, oh, and I 100% convinced. I'm like, oh my God, that's the person. I realized what happened to me is just I hadn't seen white people in a long time or a lot of black people, frankly. And they were starting like white people. They were looking the same to me. And so I was just used to seeing Asian people. And so you get hit with that. And that's what it was. But then when I saw you tweet about seeing Artie Lang, I'm like, this is what's happened. Is that what happened?
No, pretty much. Yeah. Also, I forget not seeing white people. It was also my first time in New York. First time after 11 years, probably. Right. So the last time I was out in New York, I only stayed for a few days. Didn't really get the full New York experience. And this time around, I was alone. I was living in Brooklyn with a relative. So I got to really explore the city a bunch. And there was a McDonald's near his place that was a good 5 minutes away. So I'd go out there to have breakfast and just to
see. Finest place in Brooklyn, I have breakfast.
Yeah, right? And so to see just people, the characters that frequent that McDonald's, there was a group of old seniors who'd have breakfast there regularly. And I'd listen to them talk. And it's like a free podcast during
that's why I love New York City. That's why we pay the rent, to be honest. The crazy people you can listen to anywhere.
It's the characters that make the city.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, so it has like a very unique flavor as opposed to, you know, where I was, which is California. So very different. Also very, very, very aggressive, I guess you could say.
Yes. It's
a very aggressive flavor.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Oh, it's just, you know, a lot of times, like I took the subway a bunch of times here. So a lot of times people are like in a hurry and telling me to move, which I'm not very good at. If you see me, you'll know why. Not very agile, but it's still like even with all the hustle and with all the walking and all the commuting, I still really didn't mind it, you know, because just the experience was just very unique to me. So I still saw it, I guess, with rose-colored glasses, you know.
And you were staying with family in Brownsville? Is that where you were?
No. So I was staying in Ozone Park.
Which is just like a far suburb of Manhattan.
Yes. So Brooklyn. It's a bit farther out. With an uncle. And when I got COVID, he and I were only sharing he let me crash on his couch, basically.
Okay.
So when I got COVID, I had to leave because he's immunocompromised.
Yeah, you don't want to go give your uncle.
Yeah, right. And COVID. He's pretty old as well. So I didn't really want to give him COVID like that.
No.
So I want to give it. So I had to look for a hotel nearby. And the closest one I found was in Brownsville, which I didn't know where it was.
How did you find it? You just looked in your phone, like closest hotel?
Yeah, I just went on
Kaplan, explain Brownsville to the people.
Brownsville is known as, I think it's most famous for being the place Mike Tyson is from, if I'm correct.
Right.
It's where he was born and raised.
It's also, it's the most dangerous part of New York City.
It's not the best part.
It's the murder capital of New York City.
It's where Mike Tyson got all of his rage.
I mean, just to put it bluntly, it's a square mile of projects.
It's more dangerous than Long Island City, where I live, which is
way, way, way more.
And I live in a war zone.
I used to have to go out there when I was signing up for unemployment, or not, was I signing up for unemployment? Or like, so, or no, oh, when I was getting my Obamacare in like 2016, back then you had to do all these meetings in person. You couldn't just fill out stuff online. And multiple times I would have to go to Brownsville to do it. And it was a pretty scary neighborhood. You were there in a hotel. How'd you find a hotel room in Brownsville? It was cheap or something?
So, because it was cheap. That's basically it. It
I can't believe there's even hotels in Brownsville.
You should. There was a was vacationing to Brownsville.
What's the hotel
it's
chain?
It's weird because it was a hotel that didn't take cards.
Oh, God. Does it take credit cards? It cash only.
Cash.
Was it by the hour?
So, no, I mean, they were able to.
At one point, why does Brownsville need a hotel? Are there like conventions happening in Brownsville? Well, we can do Vegas or Brownsville.
Yeah. I mean, people got to stay at a hotel anywhere, I guess.
But I mean, thugs got to have that free coffee in Continental.
They got to take their mistress somewhere. Everyone's got to go somewhere.
That's true. Wait, they had Continental breakfast?
They did. So it was really surprising.
Did you write a Yelp review? Coffee.
Were you COVID positive eating out of a buffet line?
No, I did not partake on the Continental breakfast, but I just saw the signs and say, and when I checked in, the guy behind the desk, behind the thick bulletproof glass, told me, it was literally thick bulletproof glass,
with a couple.
Told me that there's free breakfast. I was like, no, I'm good. So I just stayed in my room pretty much the whole time, which is unfortunate, you know.
Was he like, why are you here? Or was he?
Yeah, I didn't really ask questions. Although when I was in line,
guys running from something.
Yeah. Although when I was in line checking in, I was with a few other unsavory folk and they did not know what to make of me.
Yeah.
They looked at me like Filipinos look at white people here. It was so perplexing to them while I was there because I just stuck out. You know?
And what about, I just going through your tweets, I saw that you tried artichoke for the first time when you were in New York City. How was that?
So I did the open mic at the Greenwich Village, right? Where they had
you went
all
to artichoke pizza.
And I went to artichoke pizza.
Artichoke the vegetable.
That artichoke the vegetable, which I've had before.
I thought you made it was the first time you tried artichoke.
By the way, I guess the city, you got COVID at the wrong time. For like 2 years, the city would have put you up in a free hotel if you had COVID.
Now I wish I had gone 2 years earlier. But then, I guess, you know, all things considering, I still really enjoyed my trip. You know, I still makes me want to go back to be sure. You know, that's really what's on
and
my
and people
mind
handed you a CD. You got a free.
Oh,
CD.
Yeah. No. So when I so, OK, quick story. I tripped in front of Times Square or right on Times Square.
That's how you injured your ankle.
Yeah, that's how I injured my ankle. And it was the day of the show of the festival show I was booked on.
It was also the day you were. I think before you were supposed to do our podcast. Oh, yes. You came out to New York for this Asian comedy festival.
Yes, yes. That's what I was in New York for. So it was for the very big, very Asian comedy festival. And they had me on. They booked me for the show.
Turner on.
I guess it's not Asian enough. Asian by proxy still isn't Asian. So
there was no white people on that festival, right?
There was no white people. On
okay, good. Because
no.
I'm going to say if there was any whites and it wasn't me, I would be very upset.
I mean, they were white volunteers. If you wanted to kill us.
No, I'm a volunteer. I want to be
a volunteer. Yeah. Big time for that.
Running for coffee, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But there were no white people on that. On
okay,
that,
good. That makes you feel good. So you're standing in Times Square. And
so I was running at Times Square. I tripped. I rolled my ankle really badly. And that it attracted a few tourists and the hustlers who would hand out CDs right at the corner, you know, the group of guys who try to hustle people for a few dollars.
Like the hip, so, the rap, there's like rappers who will just low level.
They're still
rappers.
Handing out CDs in 2022.
Yeah.
I haven't been out.
They'll
much
sit
later.
In Times Square and hand you a CD and then try to charge
you for, try to swindle you.
A few dollars, you want my CD? And they're like, oh, give me some money now. I'm an artist. We should do that maybe with the podcast. We got to do some door to door.
That's maybe that's how you get more Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, subscribe people and then ask them for money.
CD of the podcast. And
Stand next to them. Stand next to the rappers.
Yeah.
Try to hustle for the day.
So what happened? You fall down, and then tourists
down. And then a few people walking around, not the rappers, help me back to my feet. So they were kind enough to do that. But then, like a good 2 minutes later, as I'm trying to compose myself, the rappers come rushing in and start talking to me and start telling me, "Oh man, you gotta be careful out here. This is New York streets. But hey, listen, here's my CD. Give me some money." It's like, we helped you out, so here's a CD, and now give us some money.
They didn't give you any ice, though, or anything.
Yeah, no, they didn't help me. I was already standing by the time that they came, so I didn't really give them anything. I just went on my way.
And what about, I know you went to the Denver airport. You had a layover.
Yeah, I had a layover at the Denver airport. It was interesting as well. And you're just really going through my tweets now.
I really am. It's great.
This is how we do pre-interview process. We saw the research.
I want to know about the white people with dreadlocks.
A lot of them were
really?
That's problematic. One white dude with dreadlocks
in Denver
went up to me and returned my wallet, which I dropped and didn't even know.
You're a disaster.
Yeah, how did I survive the trip?
Right? You need your ID to get on a plane too, so you really don't want to lose your wallet.
So I dropped my wallet a while back. I was just rushing to the next gate, and then this dude in like a foot long dreadlocks just came running to me, all bearded out, all scary looking, and he just tapped me on my shoulder. I thought he was trying to sell me something, but then he had to do that by that.
Here's the thing is they don't tell you. Like, everybody loves to make fun of white guys with dreadlocks, but they are usually very nice people.
Yeah,
exactly. Clearly. Some of the nicest people in Denver have dreadlocks.
So. They look like idiots, but they are pretty nice.
They're cultural appropriating, so they're evil in a way, but they're like...
You know. Two-thirds, one-third.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one-third is
dreadlocks. They're honest, though.
Like Chairman Mao.
Yeah.
Aren't they fantastic? So you might be moving. Wow. Well, let's.
So wait, bring him to New York. I think we can get a place for you in Brownsville.
Yeah. That's anywhere but, you know, anywhere. No, because I also met up with a few friends, Filipino friends, who had since moved to New York, and they were very encouraging. Some of them even offered to marry me. So I could get the green card and move out there.
Can you gay marry for green card status?
I do not know, man. But maybe that guy was just trying to hand on me.
I think you can. Of course you can, right?
I
don't know if you can gay marry in the Philippines for green card status. I don't know what Duterte says about
that. We might be hitting on something here. Because like, I know I have a relative, I guess I'll say, who used to work in... you know, like in the state, in the U.S., in the embassies where you need to try to decide, you're giving people green cards or you're not giving people, you're giving people visas, spousal visas. You're trying to decide if it's a real marriage or a fake marriage. But the bells usually go off when it's like an old guy and a young girl.
Yeah.
But bells, I don't think, go off when it's two guys.
Mm.
So as a way to skirt the system.
Unless that one guy looks like Artie Lang. And then it's
this might be a whole new hole in the system. Anyway.
I mean, I feel like I can still do better than where you at. I'm just going to say that right now.
You know? But so you didn't know. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Cap. Go ahead.
I was going to say you do know a lot of people in New York because I wanted to tell you yesterday I was driving through the city and I get all nerd. Turner knows how much I hate a parade. These parades cause traffic.
Well, he just Kaplan doesn't like parades when it's like of an ethnic. Kind.
Yeah, well, I got all like I got all angry because they were blocking a street, and then I saw it was the Philippine National Independence Day Parade yesterday in New York,
right.
And that's it was the smallest parade I've ever seen. So like, it barely blocked traffic at all. It didn't cause any. So it's kind of great, actually.
I mean,
so
it's they got to get it out of Pride Month.
It's a bad month.
Parades.
I mean, clearly the Philippines doesn't care for its independence.
Right.
They just voted
ironic
for a dictator.
Oxymoron. That's what they're celebrating, the independence from then?
From Spain.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think's gonna what does the future look like the next 6 years, I guess, in the Philippines?
I mean, Bongbong Marcos really doesn't have much of a political will. And by that, I mean, he's really not the kind of person who we see implementing martial law and really cracking down like President Duterte did. You know, President Duterte really cracked down on crime and for better or for worse was able to actually do it. Bongbong Marcos really is only out there to clear his family's name and take more money for himself. That's really what he's at. You know, it's that's really his platform. Of course, he can't say that.
He really needs more money. Like they don't.
Yeah.
What happened to all the money they took? They didn't invest it well.
I mean, it's in New York now. They have a few buildings out there. That building in front of Trump Tower used to belong to them.
No way.
It used to be. Yeah, there's a building up in front of Trump Tower. I can't remember the name, but it used to belong to the Marcuses.
The Friars Club?
We're right down the street. Ooh,
we're very close to the Trump.
Bong Bong.
The next ceremony is going to honor Bong Bong next year.
Imagine if it was, right?
Icon Award.
Icon Award to Bong Bong.
For Bong Bong Marcus, imagine the red carpet, right?
We are trying to get more, like, you know, like
international.
People of color. Like
people of color. So
there you go.
speaking of, it was it's AAPI month, right? Here, is it still? Or was that last month?
That was May.
That was last
month. Nice try, idiot.
Oh, so I wanted to.
That was last month.
When we were
supposed to. That's why we had the festival. Yeah.
That's why we had the festival. No, because I wanted to ask you for AAPI month, and I'm not. My daughter, they hired a Filipino chef for her. Can I say Girl Scouts? Will Drew get mad if it's for her Girl Scouts?
You can say Girl Scouts.
They hired a chef, and she cooked with them. And I said, "What did you eat?" And she said, "I had chocolate pancakes." I said, "That was your authentic dish." She liked it though. Is that something?
It's it happens. You know,
dish?
We do have that. It's a bit of a fusion thing though. It's a newer invention. It's not really. You can't really go to a traditional Filipino restaurant and ask for it. But I've seen it around.
Yeah. Jollibee Cap, they have spaghetti. So
right.
Yes, exactly.
Everything's on the table with Filipino food, as far as I know.
That's a good selling point.
Yeah.
I mean, they have burgers and fries, and those are not really Filipino.
They have Shakey's Pizza there.
Ooh,
exactly.
I wouldn't sell that.
That's pretty good pizza. all right. That's the episode, everybody. Chino, thanks for doing it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want one last question. Do you think Bong Bong, because we read Duterte's approval rating is 92%, and it was like 92% last year at one point?
Right.
Can Bong Bong get over that? Do you think he's not saying anything?
He might shoot past that with how brainwashed the people are. He might shoot past that.
Wow, that's a good number to like over under.
right. I mean, he might go 93 easy in like the first 6 months. Oh,
is there
which
any
is scary?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's scary because he literally did not have a platform and won the presidency.
It could be a lesson for other candidates out there. Less is more. Platforms are stupid. They get in the way.
I mean, I think, yes, I think you're right. So is there any thought that he's going to try to start nationalizing stuff and like people need to get their money out of the country or no, he's not interested in that?
No. Well, a lot of conspiracy theorists are saying that they need to start pulling investments out of the country because with him winning, a lot of international companies are going to start pulling out. And so the economy is going to tank. And we might end up as the next El Salvador or some shit, right? But a lot of like reasonably minded experts are saying that's way too far into the future to predict. So cooler heads will say that you keep your money in the Philippines for now. However, I mean, only time will really tell. I'm not an economist. I can't really say.
Maybe he'll bring
what
Bitcoin.
I read. He's trying to I know he doesn't have a platform besides Unity, but he is saying that, well, my dad, what you guys are all forgetting is my dad was great for the economy, which thinks
he
might try to be great for the
economy. That was a key selling point to him winning. This is that his father was very good at what he did. And so they feel like he'll be very good at what he
competent dictator.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I don't really know if that really is a good enough selling point, but we'll see.
We'll have to check back in, see how it's going down the road
in 6 months.
You're still around.
That is it. That's the pot. Maybe Chino will be here and he'll just be
if
like,
not, you can just move to Brownsville
on the show.
Yeah. Take your money out of the country and bring it to Brownsville, people.
I'm pretty sure Brownsville is going to be better if that happens too. Like, it'd be the better option. Just go back to that same. Go back to the same shit.
Like Brownsville, he might have some issues. But anyway,
you can accomplish your dream and just actually do a weekly podcast from that McDonald's. interviewing the patrons. That's it. That's the show, Kaplan. What should
we do? Thank you. She had a long time coming to this pod, and I guess it's time to get lost.
Get lost, everybody.